If anybody asks you what love is, you tell them Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. You know what that is? That's love. He could have come down, but he didn't. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir, for reminding us that he didn't have to do it. But because he loved us so much, he went to Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. But you've got a right to everlasting life. Somebody will say, thank you, Jesus. Listen, he did. You didn't say that with real conviction. Thank you, Jesus. I realize you didn't have to do it, but you did it just for me. Amen. Amen. There was a passage of scripture that I want to lift today, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. He did not have to do it, but he did. We get caught up in what we think is love. That ain't love. Real love is what he did for us. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered, said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. Amen. I want to talk today from the thought, I've got good news. Amen. I've got good news. Every year at Easter, if I gave you the opportunity, most of you could close the sermon for me. Because we know where we're going to end up on Easter Sunday. It does not have to be scripted. Everybody knows what you're going to hear on Easter Sunday. It has almost become mundane. It has almost become routine. We expect to hear the same thing every time we come. And certainly is a story that never gets old, because, again, it is the basis of the Christian belief that he died one Friday, but he got up one Sunday. And so this year I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me something a little different. Let me package it a little bit different. Same story, just let me let me tell it a little different way. And as I was riding along this week, I heard a song on the radio that kind of gave me the inspiration for the message today. It was not on KHVN, Heaven 97. Amen. It was on 94.5. Amen. Don't y'all sit here and look at me like you listen to Heaven 97 all the time. You may as well be truthful with me and with yourself. Amen. Nothing wrong, a little old school every now and then. Amen. But a song came on the radio that arrested my attention and started the wheels of motion to turning in my head. And it took me back to the year of 1979. Somebody said it was a long time ago. But in 1979, it was the height of the disco era. Everybody was going discoing. All of the old school people had to move back because the disco era had taken over. And it is said that this era produced more one-hit wonders than any other era in music. And one of those one-hit wonders was playing on the radio on this particular day. A young lady who hails from Memphis, Tennessee, by the name of Anita Ward, and she had one hit, never to be heard from again. The song was "You Can Ring My Bell." Somebody. I don't need y'all to play it. Amen. She says you can ring it anytime, anywhere. Ring it. And what Anita Ward was really saying, and I promise you it's gonna make sense today, is that anytime you need me, anytime you want me, all you've got to do is simply ring my bell. And so that caused me to think about some cliches that we use in life that we don't know their origin, we don't know their meaning, we don't know where they came from. We simply say them because we've heard them all of our lives. And being from Louisiana, there are a lot of cliches that are tied to Louisiana, especially the New Orleans area. And one of the cliches that we use was coined back in the early 19th century, in the early 1800s, in New Orleans, it is below sea level. And they don't bury people under the ground because they'll float. They can't dig 6 feet because you would hit water before you got to 6 feet deep. So they bury them on top of the ground. And what they discovered in the 19th century was that they opened some of the caskets, and they discovered that at the top of these caskets were some writings, were some scratchings at the top of these caskets. And they later discovered that some of the people that they thought were dead had actually been buried alive. And so what they started doing was that every time they buried somebody, they would bury them with a bell in each hand. So that if they were in fact not dead, they could ring their bell. Thusly, we get the saying, saved by the bell. I'm going somewhere. Listen. They had been pronounced dead.
Somebody had said it was over for them, that their life had ended, that everything had come to an end. They had been pronounced dead. But how many know what looks like it's dead is not always dead? Let me rewind that and play that again. They had been pronounced dead. They had said that they were dead. They had literally put them in a casket and put them in a grave. They thought they were dead. But what looks like it's dead is not always dead. Somebody ought to be shouting in here today, because somebody has pronounced you dead. Somebody has said that you'll never be anything, that you'll never get out of what you're going through right now. But here you are today, can be a witness that folks said I was dead. But here I am today, alive. Well, not only did they put bells in their hand, but they hired people who would go in the graveyard after dark, because there were people in and out during the day, but after dark there was nobody in the graveyard. And these people's sole job was to walk up and down the rows of graves and listen for somebody ringing their bell. Thusly, we coined the phrase "working the graveyard shift." Boy, y'all learning something here today, aren't you? And so when I look at this text today, it reminded me that what looked like it was dead, what all of the Jewish people has pronounced as over, was really not over. And thus we have the subject here today, that listen, I've got some good news for you today. Number one, it ain't fake news, it's real news. Now Donald Trump talks about fake news. I've got some real news for you today. And the narrative This narrative ends the passion of our Lord. He has come and lived his life. He has died and he's conquered the tomb, and he's getting ready now to commission his disciples. But the resurrection takes place, but they do not know it, because they have fled from him in terror and fear of their own lives. Only the women are left who come to the tomb to preserve his body with spices. For they did not get an opportunity, along with Nicodemus, to properly entomb his body Friday, because it was near the Sabbath. And so they bury him in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. And so they go to the tomb expecting to see him, because they want to finish the process of preserving his body. Listen, every tomb held four bodies. Jesus was the first one into the tomb, meaning that three other people had to be interred into the tomb. And they would go and put spices on the body to preserve the body, so they did not become so stinky, so odorous, that they could not come in and put in the other three people that had to go to the tomb. Somebody say, boy, you got your homework today. By dressing his body with aloe and myrrh, so he can be properly buried. And along the way, there's a worry among themselves about who will roll the stone away. But when they get to the tomb, the problem has already been solved, for the angel of the Lord has already rolled back the stone, not to let Jesus out, but to allow Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to get in. This stone rolling away, this problem, this dilemma they are struggling with all the way to the tomb, but when they get there, God has already handled the problem for them. That'll be a word to somebody in service today. You ought to be thanking and praising God, but you're struggling over something you've got to face this week. You ought to leave here today with the assurance that when you get to the problem that you're facing, when you get to the problem you're worrying over, when you get there, God has already handled the problem for you. wish I had a witness in here today. I'm trying to say to somebody here, you don't have to wait until the battle is over. You ought to go ahead and shout right now that I don't know how God is going to work my problem out, but listen, I do believe God is bigger than any problem that I have. And you ought to have enough confidence in God to shout right now, whatever you've got to face this week, God has already lived in it, and he's already been through it. Whatever problem, whatever situation you may face, if you're in him and he is in you, he's already rolled your stone away. Tell your neighbor, he's already rolled the stone away. I'm talking to somebody in here today who, like me, those in the text are on their way somewhere, and you don't know how you're going to make it. You agonize over it. You lose sleep over it. I stopped to tell you that when you get there, the Lord will have already handled it. Somebody ought to be a witness today that the Lord can handle it. Can I get a witness in here today that know that the Lord can handle it? That don't mean much if you don't have any problems. That doesn't mean much if you've never had any storms. But some of us have been there and are on our way back. We've already been through the storm and are on our way back. Somebody here today, somebody told you you'd never make it out of stuff you got yourself into. But God met you in your situation, and despite what they said, you ought to be able to testify that when I got to the problem, God had already worked it out for me. Listen. Some of y'all, it's Easter Sunday morning, it's just looking good, but Sunday morning for many of us is thanking God for what he's already brought us through. Listen, it's not about looking good. It's about saying, God, I thank you for what you've already. And then we hope that he's going to bring us through tomorrow. And if he doesn't do anything else, how many know God's already done enough? That if God never blesses me again, he's already done enough. The two Marys get to the tomb, and the stone has been rolled away not to let Jesus out, for all he's already out. He's already risen from the dead. The guards, the Roman centurions, have been rendered paralyzed as dead men because the angel rolled the stone away in their presence and then sat on the stone that he rolled away. The implication is God has worked a miracle in their presence. God has rolled the stone away despite their being there to guard it and said to them, now what you gonna do about it? I know you were sent here to guard it, but what are you gonna do about it? Do you know that's how God handles your enemy? He prepares a table before you in the very presence of your enemy, and there's nothing the devil can do about God blessing you but fall paralyzed. They might not like you, but they gotta say amen. They might not be on your side, but if God is on your side, if God be for us, who can be against us? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious of workers of iniquity. Just hang around and watch, for this shall soon be cut off. Like grass, and they shall wither like the green earth. The angel rolled the stone away and sat on it, waiting for the women to come. When they get there, the angel says, I know who you're looking for. I know why you've come, but he's not here. He is not here. Can I park there for a minute? He is not here. Brothers and sisters, I'm happy about that, because if he was still there, he wouldn't be able to be here. And I know he's here because I talked with him this morning. I wish I had a witness in here. I know he's here because I feel his presence right now. I know he's here because I don't need nobody to say, give him a hand and let's say hallelujah. I know who woke me up this morning. And if nobody else praises him but me, I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Would you tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I know he's here because I feel his presence. He's not there. He's right here. Anybody beside me feel his presence? Is there anybody that knows he lives? Listen. Then I don't leave him here. I take him over there. A lot of our problem is that the only time and the only place we meet him is right here. And when we leave him right here. But how many know that you ought to take him with you everywhere you go? That's what the old folk were talking about when they said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go. They were talking about the light of Jesus. Come see the place. Come see where he lay. Many of you have come to church, but you hadn't come to see Christ. You've come to this building, but you're not in the body. So that's why it's my responsibility as pastor to tell you every Sunday and beg you to come. Every Sunday I open the doors. I'm begging you to come and see that when you come, there's some things you ought to see. You ought to see who can save sinners, and that's Jesus. Then you ought to see a sinner that's been saved, and that's me. I ought to have a witness in here today that God saved me. Come and see. You ought to see some folk that were drunk and on the street, but now they're in the church praising God. You ought to see some folk that were on dope, but now they're deacons. You ought to see some folk that were on their way to hell, but God turned them around, and they're in this place to tell you, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. This master of worshiping, this matter of worshiping, y'all listen to me closely. This matter of worshiping is not just bowing your head. It's not just a matter of applause every now and then. It's got to be something audible and something visible. Listen, you can worship God quietly, but you cannot praise God quietly. Worship is about salvation, but praise is about what God is up to in your life. And if God is up to something good and special in your life, you can't be quiet about that. Praise ought to be loud and visible. People ought to know it and see it on your face that there's something different about you. And if they don't see it on your face, they ought to hear it in your voice. I know I've been changed. And I don't mean to disturb y'all quiet worshipers in here today. That's all right. I don't mean to disturb y'all. I don't want to get you out of your comfort zone. If you're comfortable there, listen, stay right there. But now there ought to be two or three of us in here today who have a lot to be thankful for, because we've sinned so much. We've lied so much. We've committed adultery so much. We've got so many skeletons in our closet that we can't sit here and act like we made it on our own. We know it was nobody but the Lord. And can I get about 15 or 20 of y'all in here today that don't mind getting on your neighbor's nerves, that got something to praise God for? Can I get somebody in here today that will stand on your feet and give God some praise? You can sit there and act cute if you want to, but I'm talking about somebody that's been forgiven for so much. Somebody who has so much to be grateful for. Somebody who has so much to be thankful for. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. And you can't do it with your mouth closed. The word says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Praise ye. The Lord. Listen. When I went to the sanctuary, and there's something to be said about coming to the sanctuary, because when I come here, I can tell God all about my troubles. I can tell him what's going on in my life. Then I can praise him for the victories I've already won. Anybody glad to be in the sanctuary today? That you're not concerned? Maybe you didn't have no money to buy nothing new, but how many know it's not about wearing something new? It's about coming and giving God praise. Listen. Folk think I got on a new suit. I've had it for 2 years. All I did was buy a new shirt and a new tie. It's the same suit. I just fixed it up over again, because it's not about how I look on the inside. On the outside, it's about how clean my heart is on the inside. She said, come and see. And once you see, you've got to go and tell. Hear me, brothers and sisters, you can't go and tell until you come and see. The problem, many of us are trying to go and tell what we haven't come to see. We want to run it without the responsibility of telling it. You want to be the president, the secretary, and run it, but you've got a responsibility to tell it. How many know serving Christ and being saved is not about position? It's about service. I'm not impressed by your church office. I'm not impressed with your being chairman of the board, president of the choir, a matron of the mission. The question is, are you telling somebody about Christ? And you can't go tell it if you hadn't come to see it. Go. Watch this. Angel said, come see the place where the Lord was laid. Watch this. Go quickly. It's in the text. Hurry up. Get in a hurry. Go and tell my disciples it's a matter of life and death. You've got to make haste. You've got to get in a hurry. You've got to run because the house is on fire. You've got to be in a hurry because you don't know who's going to die before next Sunday. Because there's some folk who woke up yesterday, thought they would be here today, but they've gone to try the realities of another world. And maybe nobody told them the good news. Reverend Washington, I oftentimes think about 9-1-1, 9-11. The fact that when those planes hit the towers, when the terrorists flew those planes into the buildings and 3,000 people lost their lives, when they got up that morning, they had no notion that it would be the last day of their life. And I wonder how many in that number did or died without knowing Jesus Christ. Because nobody got in a hurry to go and tell them about Christ. Instead of fighting among ourselves, we need to be using that energy to go out and tell somebody that Jesus died on a Friday but got up on a Sunday morning. Can I tell y'all the work of the Lord has no room for personal agendas? It's not about you, it's not about me, but how many know it's all about him? And if you're here for any other reason than Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get up and excuse yourself right now because it's all about him. And I've discovered that 99% of the problems we have in the church is about personal agendas. What somebody did to me, how they talked about me, personal agendas, what I want, I need to inform you today, it's not about what you want, it's about come see and go and tell. And so now the hollowed spot where the Twin Towers stood is called Ground Zero. And every place a person stands that doesn't know Jesus is called Ground Zero. And you need to get in a hurry and go tell them that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. Amen. Let me say that again. If you don't know Christ Jesus, you're on your way to hell. Thank God you've come to see, but you've got to do more than come and see. There's another part that goes with it. You've got to go and tell. Many of us have been to Calvary for pardon, but we hadn't been to Pentecost for power. And since you are post-resurrection and pre-Pentecostal, listen, you've got enough faith to shout in here, but not enough to tell somebody out there. Anybody can shout and praise God in here. Matter of fact, that's why some of y'all come. You practice your shout at home. You turn on James Brown and practice your holy dance at home. I may as well be real about it today. I've got to be honest with you, but listen. Listen. It's nothing to shout in here. But what about out there? People are dying every day without Christ. Telling me about Jesus is preaching to the choir. I know who Jesus is. But there's some drug addict on the street. There's some homeless person on the street that somebody needs to get in a hurry.
That's why Reverend and Sister Smith have taken over our outreach ministry. Go out and tell the dying world that Jesus lives. See, preaching doesn't do any good if you're not going to do what you hear me say. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. Well, Reverend, I'm not trained in evangelism. You don't have to be trained. Just talk about what God has done for you. Look at the text. The angel didn't hold an impromptu training session. He simply told them to go and tell. He didn't say go preach. He said go and tell. Not only do we get mixed up as it relates to women, but some fellas read that and think it means to go preach, and that's why you've got a church on almost every corner and not but three or four folk in each one. He didn't say go preach. He said go and tell. And that destroys and tears down the age-old myth about women being silent in the church. Listen, women got a voice in the church. I wish I had a witness in here today. Listen, I wouldn't go to a church that didn't have some women in it. Can I be real with y'all here today? I wouldn't go to a church that didn't have some women in it. Women have a voice in the church. This is not gender related, but the angel said, go and tell, not go and preach. That's right. Well, what would you have me tell them? I don't know what to say. Well, tell them how we pick you up. Tell them how we turned you around. Tell them how he delivered you from your addiction. You ought to be guilty of telling somebody about how good God has been to you. But before you can tell it, you've got to first see it. Come and see it, and then go and tell it. And I've been telling this story now for over 30 years. In my story, I'm not changed. I just celebrated 13 years as the pastor of Mount Moriah. And my story is still the same. And people have come from all over this city to hear the same story. And I don't have a new story to tell you today. You already know how I'm gonna close this message. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan, performed miracles in a desert place, wept over Jerusalem, prayed in Gethsemane, died on Friday, got up early Sunday morning. I've been preaching that for over 30 years, and folk are still coming to hear that same story. What is the story, Reverend? He died. How many know he died? He died till the sun refused to shine. He died
to the stars fell from their silver sockets. He died to the moon, dripped down in blood. Died till centurion soldiers said, surely that must be the Son of God. But don't stop there. Don't tell part of the story. If you're going to tell the story, you've got to tell the whole story. Didn't he die one Friday evening? They took him down and laid him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there all that Friday night. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed right there all night Saturday night. But bright early, if you've got a bell today, you ought to ring your bell. Bright early, Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. He's not there. He is alive. You ought to ring your bell. Ring it. Ring it. Ring it. He's not dead. He is alive. If you know he's alive today, you ought to stand on your feet. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm ringing my bell because he's not dead. He is alive. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? You can ring my bell. Ring it. Ring it. Ring it. He's not dead. He is alive. Ain't he all right? Anybody know he's all right? If you know he lives, you ought to wave your hand. If you know he lives, you ought to take your neighbor by the hand. Say, neighbor, I've got good news today. Pastor Turner told me to tell you that he lives. He lives. How do you know he lives? I feel him. I feel him. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? You can ring my bell. I know he lives. He's not dead. He is alive. Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Glory. Hallelujah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? You ought to ring your bell. He's not dead. He is alive. They thought he was dead, but he is alive. If you're here today, maybe you don't know this man, Jesus, that we've been talking about. Maybe you've come to see, but you hadn't told nobody. Today will be a mighty good day to not only come and see it, but you ought to go tell it. And I gave this to you because every day, I want you to take this with and remind yourself that he's not dead. He's alive. And what that means is whenever I need him, I can call him. Mama said I can call him early in the morning, late in the midnight hour. And won't the Lord come and see about you?